In Luke chapter 17, Jesus traveled through, it says, Galilee and Samaria. He was on his way to Jerusalem, but he traveled, instead of going the way that most people would travel, he went right down the middle. And why did he do that? He did that because he wanted to meet people. How many of you, when you're going to Tampa or Orlando, go the back way, down through 27 and 19? Y'all do? How many of you? Raise your hand real big so I know who you are. All right. And then hands down. How many of you just get on the interstate and just go? All right. So about two-thirds to one-third. But, you know, people say, well, I like to drive through small towns and see. And sometimes, would you ever take a long way around through town around here? Just going to go see what's out there, and hadn't been this way in a while, so I'll go that way. Well, Jesus didn't, he didn't take the interstate way. He didn't take the highway. He went right down there looking through the villages because he liked to meet people. He liked to go into new towns and meet new people. But this time, he had a particular reason for going this way. He had an appointment with 10 lepers. It says he entered into a certain village, verse 12. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. That was the rule. They had to stay away. You know, we have in modern times, right, 6 foot of distance. 6 foot. What is that? For COVID, yes, 6 foot. You know, personal space, they say, is 3 feet. But now we've extended that to 6 feet. And so I don't know about y'all, but even when I'm standing around talking, I try to keep an appropriate distance. And I don't really like it when people get right in my face and talk to me. But if they'll just stand, you know, 3 feet, still good personal distance. And so the lepers would have to go around and they would have to call out if there were people coming. I'm a leper. Don't come over here. We know how that is in modern times, right? If somebody, now, if you're sitting in church, somebody coughs, you move, right? You just get up and go to the other side. And Sister Darlene's got a sinus infection. She didn't come to church. It's not contagious. Sinus infection is not contagious. But she said she just didn't want to, you know, disrupt church with a cough. And I can appreciate that. But, you know, if somebody coughs, all of a sudden now we look at them a little bit differently than we used to. Or if they sneeze, oh my goodness, right? Don't sneeze around me. Well, a leper would have to call out, I have leprosy, I'm unclean, I'm unclean. And they would have to do that every time they came along to a new group of people. Because they had been declared by the priest. Okay, it's the priest that makes this determination if they were contagious. And all of this is defined in the Old Testament. It's all laid out. God gave it to the Levites, and they said, look, if it looks like this, then they're contagious. If it looks like this, it's okay. You know, I mean, it gets on your clothes. They even talk about spores in your home, all that kind of stuff. So this was a very contagious condition. And so these 10 men, you talk about quarantine and isolation, they were living it. And to go out and to have to announce yourself, how many of you would like to have to do that? We shouldn't say it, they might be listening, right? But to have to announce, I'm unvaccinated, I've got COVID, you know, something like that. And we, you know, we kind of think about that. That's what they had to go through. They really were out of society. What have we gone through? What have we experienced with this pandemic? Joblessness, loss of family. Right, we've actually lost a lot. Well, these men couldn't go to work. They couldn't see their family. They couldn't do the things that they would normally do. We understand that a little bit now, don't we? Except they were in it. They wanted back to life. They wanted to be able to see their families again and go to work again. They wanted to be able to do the things that were normal for them. And so they're calling out. Here comes Jesus with his apostles. As he's traveling, they call out and they recognize him. You see, just because they had this condition didn't mean they weren't listening. Just because they had this condition doesn't mean that word hadn't gotten back to them about the man from Galilee. The man that could walk on water, the man that could heal the blind and the lame. And they're going around with this condition, by the way, very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. Somebody called me the other day and said, I've got this rash. And automatically, from the description, I said, is it shingles? How many of you ever, no, don't raise your hand. But if you've ever had shingles, you understand, oh, that's miserable. Or chicken pox when you were a kid, if you can remember back that far, when you were a little one. and had chicken pox. Same thing. That's this leprosy. It's very uncomfortable. And so they're uncomfortable. They're sick. They're sickly. They're ostracized from society. They're having to announce themselves. To me, and maybe to you, it'd probably just be easier to stay home, wouldn't it? Than to go out and have to call out. To stay in a leper colony instead of having to call out and tell everybody, I'm unclean. They needed a miracle. They were desperate to get their freedom back, to get back to life. They see Jesus approaching. The Bible says in verse 13, they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They needed a miracle. They wanted their lives back. You know, as we look at that and we parallel it to a spiritual condition, the truth is that we all start off unclean. All of us are marred by sin. All of us have fallen short of God's glory. We've sinned and come short of God's glory. All of us. And there comes a point at which we must call out to God and say, Jesus, have mercy on us. What do we need? We need to be cleansed from our unrighteousness. We need to have it washed away by the blood of Christ. Jesus died on that cross on Calvary for our sin, for your sin, for my sin, for all sin. To wash away that sin. To remove it from our lives so that we don't have to walk in the cloud of the past or the guilt of the past, but we can be free and we can live for God and we can do the things that God's called us to. Jesus, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Because it doesn't matter their condition. They're not clean until the priest says they're clean. They can't go back to work until they get a letter from the priest. They can't go back home until they get a certificate from the priest. Everything comes down to that declaration that you're over it. The declaration that you are free. Again, we experienced that, didn't we, over the last couple of years. Don't come back to work until you have a doctor's note. And that's what they had to have. They had to have the declaration that they were cleansed. Now, they didn't feel any different. Jesus, have mercy. He said, go show yourself to the priest. Their condition was such that they knew they were sick. They knew they were carrying it. They didn't know if it was contagious, but they knew they were carrying it. And they knew that they had it in their skin. They knew they had it in their body. And all he doesn't say, you're whole. He doesn't say, you're healed. He just says, go to the priest and get a declaration. Go have it determined by law that you are clean. And so off they go to the priest. What's that called? It's called obedience. It's called obedience. Remember in the Old Testament, Naaman had that condition, and he went and the prophet didn't even come down. He sent a messenger down and said, tell him to go dip in the Jordan seven times. And he said, well, you mean he's not even going to come down to see me himself? He's not even going to take the time to come down to the front gate and introduce him? I mean, does he know who I am? I got better water than Jordan back home. Why would I come here and get in this muddy river? I'd go back to Assyria and have much better water. And his servant looked at him and he says, don't you at least want to try? And so he did. He went out in that muddy water in Jordan and he dipped himself seven times. And when he came up that seventh time, guess what? He was cleansed. Go show yourself to the priest. Did they argue with it? No. They just said, we'll do what he said. Let me tell you something. Our lives would be a whole lot better if we just do what he says. Just do what he says. We keep coming up with debates and questions and challenges. What did God say? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So just believe it and confess it. That's too easy. Well, don't you at least want to try it? What if he had said, go to the greatest doctors in Egypt and put a salve on it that'll take a year's pay to buy that ointment. Would he have done it? Sure he would have. Because he wanted relief. And when we come to God, what we want is relief. We want relief from the burden of sin. We want relief from the burden of our past. We want relief from the future eternity to know if we're going to heaven or not. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you know you're going to heaven? I do. You want to know why? Because I put my faith in God. With the heart I believeth, and with the mouth confession was made unto salvation. When I said, God, I'm a sinner. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins. That was easy. Yes, because he did the hard part when he was crucified on Calvary. He did the hard part. And he tells me to believe, and so I'm going to believe. And then what he said, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, his commandments are not grievous. God does not lay burdens on us that we can't bear. How many of you understand that? What he tells us to do, we are able to do. Naaman, go dip in Jordan 7 times. Could he do that? He could. Go, 10 lepers, you go to the priest and show yourself so that he can declare you whole. Was that hard? No. What about the commandments? Are they hard? They're not. What about the greatest commandment? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And all thy soul, and all thy might. That's easy, isn't it? And your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandment. His commandments are not grievous. Just do what he says. So they did. They went to do what he said. They're walking down the road, 10 of them. And they realize their leprosy's gone. Their condition was so extreme that when it was gone, they knew it immediately. They knew it was gone. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. We had some testimony shared this morning. What are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for Jesus and my church and my family and my health and safety, vision, to see the handiwork of God. But nobody jumped up and said, praise the Lord! Bunch of Baptists. Do we really give praise to God? We pray for things, don't we? We had prayer. I mean, the prayer list was long this morning. We thought we were finished. One more. Oh, there's another one. I can look around, you know, in our church right now. This is a season of great need among our families. All the different needs in our church and medical conditions and physical conditions and all of, as I look around, it seems like everybody's got some huge burden right now. Not everybody, but most. Some no one else knows about. Carrying a great burden. And so we pray. We pray for God to lift that burden or to bring us through that problem. And let me tell you something. When you wake up tomorrow, praise God. Praise God, He got you through. You've made it every day. You've survived every day so far. It's not easy. I know it's weighing heavily and I know it's hard. But praise God, He's with us through it, isn't He? He's given us the strength that we need. And He's given us a great church too, hasn't He? We can call on one another and people will jump in and they'll help if they know the need. If they know the need. That's the key. You've got to say, this is what I need. He praised God. One turned back. Look at what it says in verse 16. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Giving him thanks. because he was getting his life back. And there's a little note on the end of that verse that leads me to believe that there were other people in that group of 10 that should have thought of it before he did. It says, and he was a Samaritan. In other words, he was an outsider. He was not one that would be necessarily included in the nation of Israel, in the people of God. He was a Samaritan. He was mixed between Jew and Gentile. But he came back. He was thankful. He fell down at Jesus' feet and thanked him and praised God. Why? Because Jesus changed his life. How has Jesus changed your life? I mean, since you got serious about your salvation, since you got with God, how has your life changed? Do you have peace in your heart? Do you sense that love that God has for you and maybe more love in your life? The forgiveness of sins, have you experienced that? Hey, look, hope. Hope. A better outlook, a better perspective. That it's not okay right now, but it's going to be okay. That sooner or later, it's going to get better. And so we just keep holding on. A better mindset, a better outlook. Self-discipline. This is one that a lot of people miss. Self-discipline. We have got to be in control of our lives. We've got to be disciplined. Only one gave thanks. Are you a thankful person? Are you the type that says thank you? Thank you, little kid comes and hands you a snotty Kleenex. What do you say? You say thank you. No matter what. Guys, are we thankful in our lives? We live in the greatest country. I would even say we live in the greatest state. I would say we live in the greatest part of the state. I've lived all down the rest of the state. I'm glad to be here. We have the greatest part of it. We have a great church. We've got great families. Some, maybe your biological family is not all that you wanted it to be, but you're surrounded by people that love you. You're surrounded by people who will listen to you and will care for you. Do we count our blessings? Do we find reasons to be thankful? Or are you one of those who just finds reasons to complain? Find reason to be unthankful. Let me tell you something. If you are looking for trouble, you will find it. If you want to be offended, your wish will be granted. But if you want to be thankful and not entitled, let me tell you, you want to know when people are not thankful? When they feel entitled. When they say, somebody owes this to me. I deserve this. Let me tell you, you're headed for a cliff. And you're going to fall over the edge if you feel entitled and you think people owe it to you. But I'll tell you something, when you're thankful for everything people will do for you, people will give to you, when you're thankful for all the blessings of God, then you don't have any time to be offended or ungrateful or complain. Because you look at everything as a blessing. 9 didn't come back and show gratitude. Were they cleansed? Yes. Were they going to show themselves to the priest? Yes. Why? Because they wanted that piece of paper. They wanted like a graduating senior in high school. They just want that piece of paper. Right? Just as soon as I get that piece of paper, or a 16-year-old that's going to get their driver's license, they just want that in their hand. Once they have that in their hand, everything will be better. Is that what happens? Like life is solved after I get my driver's license or after I graduate high school. Does that fix everything? Yeah. These men had it in their mind, and as soon as they had that piece of paper, their life would be better. Let me tell you something. Their life was already better. They just overlooked the blessing that God had given them. As we're looking for that, maybe you're looking for retirement. Just can't wait to get that piece of paper in your hand, right? Hey, life's already better. if you have Jesus. Life's already better if you've been in the presence of the Son of God. Life's already better. Don't wait till you get that golden ticket to be grateful. Be grateful now. And let your gratitude be known. Husbands, be thankful for your wife. Tell her you're thankful for her. Be thankful for your children. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're thankful for them. Children, be thankful for your parents. Let them know. Say it out loud. We take so much for granted. This time of year, we've set aside particularly to celebrate the blessings, to express to God our thanks, to give thanks for our country, for our veterans, for our Bible, for our church, for our families, for our salvation, for your retirement, or for your job. The point is this, it's already better. They had their mind on, well, get that piece of paper, I'll be all right. No, it's already better. Let's praise God today. Let's thank God today. Let's thank people. Let's show gratitude to people today. Be thankful. Not entitled, not offended, not ungrateful. Thankful. Let's stand. We have a time of invitation. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, but you'd like to, right now, from where you are, won't you pray from your heart to God's heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I know Jesus died for my sins, and I ask you to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. God, I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Maybe you prayed that prayer and you're ready to be baptized. Baptism is simply the burying of your past, being risen to walk in newness of life. What about it this morning? You ready to bury the past in the waters of baptism? Make a new start in Christ, in the church? Or maybe you just look at what happened with these 10 men and you say, I need to be grateful. I need to show praise now, gratitude now. And all this time I've been looking for when I get my settlement or when I retire, when I hit the lottery, or when I finally get to that point, and then when I get to that point, then I'll be thankful. No, it's already better. It's better now. Look at what God has done. And open up and let God do in your life all that He can do. Father, use this time for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. I'll pray with you. You can pray where you are, but right now is the time. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is your opportunity. We all have problems. We could get choked on all the struggles and difficulties. Or we can look to God in hope, grateful for all the good things. It'll change your life. All right, don't forget 6 o'clock tonight. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, I know that there are people who have already told me I'll have family in, I'll be out of town and whatever. Usually we go on vacation this week. So I understand how that works, but if you can be here, be here. If you can't, you know, turn it online and tune in with us, okay? We're thankful for all those who tune in online, able to pick it up that way. 6 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock Wednesday. Any announcements before we go? Any other prayer requests or needs?
I want to thank everybody that
birthday. Amen.
I just meant to text it back, but I just didn't.
All right. Okay. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Robert to dismiss us, please.